I want you to know, regardless of anything else, win, lose, draw, fail, awesome game, I just love to watch you play.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And tonight I'm joined by one of my good friends, Mr. Peyton Junkin. Peyton, how are you, sir?
What's up, buddy? Doing great. So great to be here. Thank you for having me, man.
Well, it's great to see your face. I just want to say thank you for taking the time away from the ball field because you know, everyone listening doesn't quite know what I know, but you are like a skilled dad. baseball champion, and we can talk about that some, but
it is a mess.
we don't have to get into it just yet, but there might be a number of guys listening, and I don't know the level of that you're at.
Yes,
but I've coached some teams, and I know the commitment level, and you're setting a bar high for us. So we'll touch on that shortly.
It's day to day. I'll just say that. Three kids, eight teams. Sometimes I show up with my best self. Other days, we're just making it through.
There we go. So there's our preview. Three kids, eight teams. You do the math. I had to get my calculator.
So do I every day.
Well, Peyton and I have known each other now for a couple of years and just had the opportunity to develop a fun relationship. And what I've learned about you, Peyton, and those listening is just you've got such a great energy and a great heart too for connecting with people, helping people, but really just intentionally when you're hanging with Peyton. So you're going to virtually hang with Peyton tonight or today or wherever you're listening. You're just always there, which is something to aspire to, I think, as a husband, a dad, a guy, a man, whatever, going with that mantra of be where your feet are.
Yes.
You always feel like you're with Peyton. So again, Peyton, I'm glad that you're with us. Yeah. And
I'll pay you later for saying that. So I appreciate that.
Hashtag not sponsored by Peyton Junkin. But
exactly.
But hey, if you would you just kind of, you know, aside from me, tell a little bit about you. We'll get into some of your story. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no doubt. So I grew up in a small town in Northwest Alabama. Roll Tide. Sorry if that turns anybody listening off. Don't hate me.
The podcast is over.
Everybody just unsubscribed. I'm sorry, Zach. But no, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, specifically Homewood. Have an amazing wife, Heather, who I don't know why in the world she puts up with me, but she does. We have three boys under our roof. They are in third grade, second grade, and first grade. We are crazy. They are 13 months and 15 months apart. And then we also have a son in Haiti who we have been in the process of adopting for quite some time. That is probably a whole other podcast. But he will turn – well, he actually just turned 11 September 4th, and we actually got some great news recently that we're probably in a 6 to 9 month window after a long, long time of waiting. Wow. And so
– congratulations on that.
Yeah, man, it's been cool. It was really cool, too, because it was his birthday of September 4th, and obviously, as a dad, you know, that's always a marker, and especially for us, you know – It just is always hard. And we got some great news on September 3rd. So it was just a really cool gift to get that key document that puts us in that 6 to 9 month window the day before he turns 11. And so that was super cool. So that's kind of the makeup of our family.
that is super cool. You're right. As far as the, just the adoption. I've had a few guys talk to me about some of their stories with adoption. It's not something I've experienced, but I know a lot of people that have done that. How long have you, just to touch on that a little bit, how long have you been in that process? Because it's not just adoption, like from within US.
Yeah. So our son's in Haiti. And yeah. So it's crazy to say out loud every time I say it. I held him for the first time at 9 months. He turned 11 on September 4th of 2021.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And so again, that's a whole rabbit trail that we could go down. I always say it's for our family. It's not always been pretty, but it's been a beautiful story. And honestly, Zach, it's his story is the reason that I'm talking to you right now. It's literally shaped our life. And again, I look forward to maybe coming back on and we can dive into that story specifically. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to turn the chapter to where I'm actually able to be his dad.
Yeah. Well, for that long, I agree. And we'll have to come back together, maybe find a way to, I'll just drive south and we'll do it live or something like that. But, yeah, but I would argue probably if you held him at 9 months and now he's going to be, he just turned 11.
Yeah.
Right.
Fourth, yeah.
There's another topic that we're going to touch on at some point, but, biological dad, not biological dad. You know, I've got a stepdad. It's like a bonus dad for me. Yeah. But he knows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure I know you go to Haiti quite a bit.
I do. Yes.
And so you're still his dad, yes. Right? At that point. So
that's for sure. And, you know, just when I say that, definitely meaning more in the day to day, and it's been really cool. He does know me as Papa is what he calls me right now. And yeah, he knows that infrastructure, if you will, is there in his life. We're just ready for the day to day of it to come to fruition. And, you know, just a little small thing recently, just came to the realization that, you know, in adoption, everybody wants the cute little baby that's young. And of course, for good reason, right? You want to be able to parent them their whole childhood. But I just felt this whisper in my soul that, hey, you realize that Rowan's going to be your son far beyond when he's under your roof. And that was just a cool moment. And it also translates to my boys that are under my roof. You know, we sometimes as dads focus so much on the here and now, and that's important. But like, this is a long journey that is far beyond when they're under our roof. And I think that's very important to know and to take note of. And I think something that's not talked about as much, it's kind of like 18 happens and then they go off. But in real life, we all know that's not true. My relationship with my dad is better now than it was when I was 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just think that was something that a realization for him, but then also translated to the boys, you know, my boys that are under my roof currently. And I think for the dads listening, like, just an encouragement to know that, hey, this investment doesn't stop at any point. As long as you're breathing air, you're dad. And so I'm really trying to embrace that in a new way.
Yeah. I think that's a fantastic point, and that there is a finite amount of time between birthday to kind of the launch day. Yeah. Yep. And that's one of the topics that we hope to dive into more, which is kind of like, what are the rites of passage of manhood that at the point where your boys are men and then are being sent off, the relationship and love, and I'm not there yet. Right. So that I've got a 6-year-old as my oldest. However, like you said, with your relationship with your dad, it keeps going, and it's almost like a new phase.
100%. Yep. It's ever evolving and changing and shifting. And I think we lose sight of that. And I think our generation has an opportunity to even shift that narrative, because I think even my dad's generation, he's in his 60s. Like, I don't think they thought that way, you know? And so I've been able to have some cool conversations around that with him, and hope to have more in the future. And I think we can kind of shift the narrative of like, hey, dad doesn't stop at 18. Like future generation or previous generations kind of viewed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're just going to come up with like more episodes that we're just going to keep sitting down and talking about. But coming back to the here and now, so 6 to 9 months away, we hope that officially he'll be here with you guys. Yes. For the three boys that you've got now in the 8 different teams, pull out the abacus. What are you doing with them? Walk me through that. Those boys are crushing it, and I think that kind of storyline is going to be relevant for a lot of dads and moms that are listening to like what life looks like with Little League sports.
Yes, no doubt. Well, it's crazy, first of all. You know, when you get to the game, it's awesome. It's all the things around the game, making sure you have the right gear, making sure you have the right practices on the calendar. So communication with your spouse is super important there. Shared calendars are a beautiful thing. But, you know, one thing that I think, and I have to remind myself of this, and again, many dads that are listening have kids that play sports, and we're competitive, right? So many listening are competitive. And I think one of the overarching things is keeping it in check and keeping it in its appropriate place. And so even though we're playing on 8 different teams, we're getting selected to play on some cool teams, boys are having success. One of my biggest things is I always talk to them about where the priorities are. Like, man, this is great, and I love that you're doing well, but it's 4th, 5th, 6th down the line of what really matters. And so I think that's a super huge thing, just as men, as we can get so wrapped up in it and begin to try to, we all know those dads that are vicariously living through their sons, and they're hopeful that their sons will be, or daughters, be these amazing athletes. But I mean, I read an article recently, a few things that I'm just really intentional about is, of course, there's correction that happens. I help coach multiple of those teams. Mm-hmm. There are 3 baseball, 3 football, and then 2 additional football teams that they got selected to play on. But just like always, I make a point, regardless of what had happened and correction and the coaching aspect of, I love to watch you play. I make sure every time before we get out of the car, regardless of if there were tears, whatever happened, hey, look me in the eyes, son. I want you to know, regardless of anything else, win, lose, draw, fail, awesome game, I just love to watch you play. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the countenance that happens. Sometimes they're on a high, and so it just elevates, but sometimes they're at a low. Yeah. And it elevates. But I think that's super, super important to always make sure that they know that. And I've just learned that from failing and being a little bit too harsh. And I think that also, second thing I would say, is praise, good job, but keep working. You know, it never stops. And I compare it to me as a dad at work. Like, hey, I may have closed this deal, or I may have done this great thing at work, but it's not done. And so I think just those two things are things that I've learned recently that I would encourage all dads to ensure that they're implementing as they're having the intensity and teaching all the lessons and fighting through the tears that come and whatnot, is just make sure you're telling them that, I just enjoy watching you play, period. Mm. I don't care if you succeed or not. Seeing you out there is awesome.
At that age, too.
Yeah.
Because you said 3rd, 2nd, and 1st.
Yeah, 3rd, 2nd, 1st. Yep.
Yeah. So
9, 8, 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that age, and I've got a question actually that relates almost more to dads than the kiddos, but just seeing them, and what I remember in coaching a couple of the teams that I've coached is the kiddo gets a hit or they're running the base or we did coach pitch, you know, that then goes in the T ball. But then there's the look to the dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of like, did you see me?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and I love the encouragement and keep going.
Yeah.
It's not a, okay, take encouragement and stop, because we're encouraging them to grow.
Yes.
Exactly. The tears are pain. And my son being the coach, I always felt bad because I found myself not holding my son to a different standard, but still wanting and encouraging him like I would anyone else, but sometimes almost showing the opposite of favoritism because you don't want to show the favoritism.
Yeah, you're trying to auto-correct. You correct too much. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were a couple of times where I just missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was a good learning experience. And that first season, second season, we did a little bit better. Here's one of the questions I've got for you. This is just maybe from that coach to coach element. And I guess maybe I have a encouragement for anyone listening that has kiddos in the game at this kind of age, but I'll share an experience that I had with a couple teams, but and if I'm way off from your experience, just tell me. That's the beauty of this, because we were like, dude, you're crazy. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
So there were a number of times I had this last season, I had a phenomenal family base in that at the beginning, we set the expectations for the season. One of my expectations was, look, we're going to have fun. We can all be competitive, but we're not going to be YouTube parents. No. Like if that's kind of your game, let's talk about it and we'll figure it out. But YouTube is for dancing cats, not for angry parents.
Exactly.
But there were a few games where, as you said, schedules, you know, happen. The kiddos might get dropped off or, you know, moms are there. But there were a couple times where I had a few dads that would kind of hang back and watch. And I was so glad they were there and watching. But there were a couple of times. I remember the first time I did it, and it was fun to see it's halfway through the season. And I went and I called them. I was like, hey guys, I can have like three more coaches on this field.
Yeah.
I need you. I want you.
Yep.
The kids want you. Will you come out with me?
Yes.
And it's almost like they're waiting for the permission.
100%.
Yep. And so have you experienced that?
No doubt. And I think in general, as men, as dads, we're prone to be very egotistical, right? Dad's listening out there. If you say no, you're lying. But I think to your point, like, that's exactly what people, I want that, right? Like, yeah. I feel like I have something to offer. And so I've definitely experienced that. And some of my richest relationships right now are actually those that I coach alongside of or even coach against. And so I think it's super vital to be in tune as you are coaching your children for whatever your motivation is, to realize at the end of the day, you're a leader. And so you're not only leading those kids, but you're leading the parents as well. And I just think that's something that I obviously don't bat 1,000 at, but it is 100% something that is an opportunity not only to invite them into a sports story, but that to invite them into a relationship with you that then can go in many different directions that enriches both of your lives. And so I think that's one reason I believe in sports, is because the sports is almost like 10% of it in a lot of scenarios. And it's that 90% that really matters. From, you know, at our age, a big thing is listening. Hey, are you listening to me? Because, okay, great, you listen and we do good in sports, but hey, are you listening at school? Are you listening at home? When I'm at doing my job as a 36-year-old dude, like, I have to listen and do what I'm told by those above me. Yep. And so I'm constantly in tune with that. And I think, you know, to use a biblical reference back to the dads and inviting them into that, it's iron sharpens iron, right? Like, one of our greatest ways, we we get unhealthy is when we isolate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a dad that's coaching, look for that person that's sitting on the side and say, hey, would you be willing to come in and run the dugout, or, you know, be a first base coach, or just be here with us, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's far more than about the sports. It's about community, which we all need.
You said it, man, community. Yeah. And to see what happened that back half, I've not seen that on either teams I've been on or teams I've you know, had the opportunity to coach. The community of that team was awesome. And a lot of us still stay in touch and, you know, continue to play together. I'm going to flip it a little bit.
Yep.
And let's say my encouragement to anybody, just, you know, from being in the coach's seat versus the other, you could take that whole story. And someone actually said this to me in a non-little league or non-sports environment. We were actually having a discussion around work stuff, kind of learning the culture of an organization. And I think it applies here and maybe in many things. And you're going to know where you are. Like, be aware of whatever scenario you're in or the environment, but don't wait for the invite.
Yes. Yeah.
If it's in a sports setting, the coach is wrangling 13, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever year olds, plus maybe a couple coaches, plus some of the parents might be asking things. There's a lot going on. What I saw is a lot of people, a lot of the dads that I got to know, it wasn't so much that they didn't want to not step in. It's what they didn't either want to step on my toes,
yeah,
or they didn't know what they could do to help.
Yeah.
So here's my encouragement. And this is an interesting kind of trail we've gone down, but I think it's really timely and good just on a couple of discussions I've had is, hey guys, being bold sometimes is just stepping out and saying, hey, I want to help. Not really sure how I can help.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah. And I think too, Zach, a great point to make, like we're talking about sports. This applies whether, you know, the community I'm in, a third of the high school is in the band, you know, whether it's the arts, whether it's your kid is in a orchestra or a choir, like it doesn't matter. I think the same principles apply. And so this isn't just a sports thing. What you're saying, like you said, it's a life thing of whether either side you're on as a coach or in a position of leadership, being open to those people helping. But then also if you're on the other side, hey, being willing to go in there and ask the question and not sit on the sidelines, you know, they're dually important. Because I've been on both sides myself.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. It goes in a lot of – one of the cool things that I've loved is just seeing the parallels. I mean, we're leading families, being a dad, but then also people leading in the work environment. One of the differentiators that I've seen with people that have risen through ranks or had more opportunities typically are the ones that step out and say, what can I do? How can I help? Yeah.
Anticipate. That's what somebody told me that a long time ago with work. Like, hey, don't ask the question, what can I do? You know, if something happens to somebody, this was if, you know, somebody's going through something, anticipate what they need. Show up with snacks. Don't ask if they need them. You know, they need them. Show up with snacks after the game, you know, or whatever the context may be. And again, I don't bat 1,000 of it. Nobody does. But it was something that a friend told me of, I just don't ask the question anymore. I just do it. Yeah. Just do it. Like Nike. Just do it.
Just like Nike. Just do it. Step up. Rarely does someone say, why are you bringing me snacks? But
right. Yeah. Why are you helping? Why are you here assisting? Like 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen. Right.
Oh my gosh. No, it won't. No. Nine and a half times out of 10. Well, hey, kudos to you as you continue to run around the season. And I wish the boys luck in their sports endeavors. That's a lot of fun. And I know that you guys are running wild. I kind of want to pivot a little bit and circle somewhat back to the beginning of what we talked about. One of the parts of your story that I think is really neat, and you could shed some good perspective, is actually along the lines of what you do professionally. And we don't talk a whole lot about that necessarily on the podcast for a variety of reasons, but we're not against it. We're all out doing lots of cool things. Some of the stuff that the guys on the podcast that we've talked to do some awesome things with some of your organization. I'd love if you'd share a little bit about your organization, what you do. And then maybe we can tap into a core of my question and how it relates to being a dad and what that means for other places besides maybe what we're used to.
Yeah, no doubt. So I work for an organization called Help One Now. And in short, we're an international development organization. Our key is empowering high capacity local leaders to empower families so that they can thrive. And a big part of that is lifting families out of poverty. That's kind of the mission. And how we accomplish that is believing that strong communities, you know, create strong families, create strong communities, which fight against some of the systemic issues in the developing world where we operate. That's where we work, is all international. And it affords me the opportunity to have a very unique perspective when it comes to fatherhood. And so we, you know, education and seeing families launch businesses is kind of the core of what we do. And we do all of that through local indigenous leaders, no presence on the ground from the Western world, believing that those individuals in Haiti, Dominican, Peru, Belize, Zimbabwe, Uganda, Ethiopia, wherever it may be, that they have the skills just mm-hmm. like we do to accomplish exactly what we want for our families. And so I have the very fortunate opportunity to be the director of partnerships and lead people towards responsible generosity in that realm.
Mm-hmm. And you're always, just some of your stories really cool. When you're out in the ball field, and then sometimes you're getting out there in the field, so to speak. Yeah. One of the things I've been fascinated by is how you all go in and equip from within. So that it's not dependent upon coming in and then there, and then when you're gone, you're gone. Right. And equipping and empowering from inside so that you can foster that from within. And the times that the places you've been, whether it's, you know, Haiti, which is kind of the circle back to what we had discussed before, Dominican Republic, South America, Ethiopia, Africa. In the time that you've spent there and with some of the leaders within those villages, has there been anything that's stuck out just from a difference perspective as far as kind of our culture, some of the things that are more our norm versus things that you've seen over there, just both in general? And then I've got a follow-up question to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the really different things, I want to share a brief story. A difference is like, we, as everybody listening to this podcast, I mean, let's just be blunt. We are very privileged, right? We are probably all in the top 1% of wealth in the world. I mean, that's data that's true. And so I think what's different is just recognizing the struggles for dads around the world, and being really intentional about that being a very real thing. And how can we address those issues? Because what you see too in that context is there's a lot of fight or flight, right? And unfortunately, you see a lot of flight in when a dad doesn't feel like, what it comes down to is when we don't feel like dignity is intact, flight happens. And so in our world, our existence of fighting to see extreme poverty ended is because we know that that's the root cause of so much of the violence, the negative things that we see that happen in our world. And we know that if we can empower a family, a dad, to be able to go and work and provide for that family, at the end of the day, that's what they want. And so what's different is they don't have the privilege that we have of winning the birth lottery of growing up in the U.S. and being born in the U.S. But a really cool story that I think makes us really the same is we have a gentleman in Zimbabwe who had went through our family business program, and he had two or three children, but he had one son. And we asked him, hey, what's it meant for you to be able to now have your own business and provide? And, you know, we were expecting this great answer of like, I have a house now, or I am able to take my wife out on a date or vacation, or how we as the Western world view success, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what he said, Zach? He said, you know what? He had tears in his eyes because he was very thoughtful. He said, you know what it has mean? It has mean every Thursday I get to take my son and go get ice cream.
Mm.
And it's just like literally get chills every time I tell that, because that's what we all want, right? Like we have to force ourselves to slow down enough to do those things. He's telling me, I get to take my kid every Thursday to go get ice cream. And so it really set things in perspective of like, man, we are very privileged to be able to coach eight teams, right?
Mm.
And so to not view that as a stress point, but as a privilege, changes a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a powerful perspective.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If someone's not been outside the U.S., which is, you know,
yeah,
phenomenal place. Yeah, to go get ice cream on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not to be a guilt thing. Like everybody listen, like that, I don't tell that story to make you feel guilty for the context that you were born in, that we were all born in. But I think the word that comes to mind is like, may it force us to be intentional about recognizing it and slowing down, putting your phone down, turning off the TV, getting on your son or daughter's level and going to get ice cream or whatever that looks like for you. It's a lesson that I've learned that is literally, I think about it every week, at least once, just that idea, you know, and there's multiple other stories like it, but
yeah, it's a lesson in, I think it's a reminder. I think this is a lesson we probably all heard or felt at some point, and different stories remind us and drive it home. Yeah. But there's a good kind of practice out there too. It's just practicing gratefulness.
Sure.
Yeah. And taking a moment to step back, especially for high drive people that are crushing, that are, you know, like you said, you're running a lot of teams or running the businesses, just taking that step back, saying, I'm going to make my list of the five things I'm grateful for right now. Psychologically, that does some really cool things.
No doubt. And it's almost like, just like I said earlier about making sure my son knows that this thing is fifth, sixth, seventh on the list.
Yeah.
Like, hold up a minute. Let me check myself. And where am I in my life? Is that true? You know, because many times it's about answering that email. It's about closing the next deal. It's about getting the next business, whatever. And so what really happens, and we all know this, many of us know this from teaching, when you're teaching or talking about something, you really get slapped in the face of like, am I living it myself? So I think that's a huge part of parenthood is as you teach, you're getting slapped in the face and being reminded.
Do as I say, don't say as I do.
100%.
But the dirty little secret is they're always watching you.
Yes. Yep. And that's you kind of buried a lead for one of the questions I know you're going to ask at the end.
Yeah. It's always a convicting thing, right? And that's something that, as a dad, a husband, business person, I think many people can commiserate with. But when we look at that experience, and that's a great perspective. While we're on it real quick, where can people go if they want to learn more about your organization?
Yeah. So helponenow.org. So all letters, also the same on any social media platform, type in help one now, all letters, one is not a number. So help, it is a number, but not in the context of help one another organization. Just for you dads out there that may need that reminder. But yeah, helponenow.org and check us out. And then you can find my contact info on there as well. And I'd love to connect with anybody that resonates with anything that I said.
Cool.
Or doesn't.
Or doesn't. Yeah, it's always good to have good counter thoughts and counterpoints for a good discussion. Some of my best relationships has come from that. Yeah. But we'll put that in the notes as well. But in case somebody's listening, they want to look it up. And I'll just say this as a caveat. There's no official sponsorship or anything like that tied here. Peyton's my friend. I personally support the organization with some different campaigns that they've done. They've done a lot of great work. So yeah. If you're into that, go check it out. It's definitely at least worth looking at. And with Peyton's story, he's got a lot more like that. Yeah. So in your experience of having the three boys mm-hmm. and the time goes real quick.
Yes.
If you're talking to somebody kind of on the front end of this journey, or even maybe where you and I are, that may not have a, what am I trying to say here? If you talk to somebody that's at the front of this journey,
yeah,
or if you were to go back and talk to yourself, based on what you've learned, what are three things that you would equip others with based off of your story and your learnings?
Yeah, for sure. So I want to hit briefly on one thing, and then I want to go into three specific things. But so if you're a faith person, awesome. Prayer, and for me, is huge for the boys, of just covering them in prayer and specific prayers. I'm not a great prayer, so don't hear me say that. But one thing I prayed consistently over my boys since the day they were born is the five friendships in every season of life, the five closest friendships in every season of life. And if I've not prayed anything for my boys, that is something that I've prayed, because I know how much the people around me have shaped me. The whole saying of show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And that's something that is a staple with me. If I don't do anything else, that prayer is voiced and that is spoken to them as well. And in general, I won't go into details, but also I would encourage any dad to develop mantras over your children, to speak over your children. I will give one example is I always tell my boys, I don't want you to be like anybody else. I want you to be the best version of yourself. And I'm constantly hammering that into them. And to your point, I don't bat 1,000 with that. But if you're a new dad or a dad that's trying to get to another level, I think that consistency of whether it's two mantras or 200, like I think that is super key. And even writing them down and putting them before them is something that is super important. So I wanted to say that, but the three specific things.
Can I actually stop you?
Yep.
Something you just said reminded me, I haven't thought about this for a while, about the this is probably one of those convicting elements. We asked our son, this is 2 years ago, right, when he was getting ready to start some of his school and everything, hey, what do you think you might want to be when you grow up? And just dead face serious, like almost appalled that we would ask, he's like, myself.
Wow.
And it's what you just said there, be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool thing. And a lot of us may go through different changes with jobs, things like that, things that you do. What do you want to do when you grow up? Some of us argue, are we still trying to figure that out? Right. In time. But I think wherever you go and experience the thing that you're working on, being yourself and figuring that out. So anyway, thanks for bringing that one up. It just jarred that thought in me. So,
well, and that's one of those things, Zach, that again, it forces me to look in the mirror, you know, am I being the best version? If I'm telling my boys that, wait a minute, am I being the best version of myself?
Yeah.
And again, I don't bat 1,000. And the answer is not always, but when I do that to them, the cool thing is it's for me as well. And I think that's the beauty of parenthood, is we're all figuring this out as we go. And so that leads me into, you know, what are three things that I would share for a new dad or a dad that's really trying to level up or just needs some encouragement. I would just say number one is the power of I'm sorry. And that's not necessarily a new thing, but man, some of the most powerful moments I have had with my boys is acknowledging my weaknesses, acknowledging when I've raised my voice, acknowledged when maybe I've not talked to my wife like I should have, or maybe when I didn't follow through on a commitment. And it's just simply calling it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this isn't something that's revolutionary. It's we know the theory, but the practice of it is what matters, right? And so just the power of I'm sorry, I've seen my boys weep when I've told them that. And I've heard they've told me, thank you, Dad, for saying you're sorry and I forgive you. And then, of course, I weep. So I think the power of I'm sorry is huge.
How hard is that to say you're sorry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's contextual based on whatever it is.
Fair,
right?
Fair.
But again, I think it goes back to just as men, we're egotistical, right? It's hard to say I'm sorry a lot of times. And so it is hard because too, I think there's that component of like, I'm supposed to be the leader, right? I'm not supposed to mess up. Yeah. And I just think that's BS. Like, and that is something that is just not true. And I have to tell myself that. So it is hard, but I've seen the fruit of it enough at this point to where as I've practiced it, it's not as hard once you begin to actually do it.
Yeah.
So initially it's hard, but I think when you see the fruit of it, you step into that a little bit easier.
Yeah. No, thanks for answering that. I mean, from the listener perspective, I can imagine somebody saying, well, it's easy to say that. Yeah. I just want to throw out there that it's difficult, can be difficult based on the context of the scenario and the situation to do that.
Yeah.
But to your point, that's a great point. Getting out of forcing, like sometimes the difficulty is getting out of the habit of not doing it.
Yeah.
And then once you are able to get it in more practice and you understand how to deliver those and just get past that and say, I screwed up.
Yep.
And then it becomes easier because you also get to see the fruit of it, like you said. So
yeah. Great. And it doesn't always have to be a dramatic thing. It could be,
yeah,
I'm sorry for saying, dang it, or I mean, worse, right?
I usually get called out for.
Yeah. I mean, it could be little things, big things. So I think just, the practice, just like habits, the practice of something, it becomes easier.
Yeah. It's good.
So that would be one. And then two, my biggest encouragement, and I've had to learn this and I'm still learning this, but there's a tendency like to lump parenting in, I'm parenting my kids, but my advice to dads is to truly know your kids and then parent them based upon what you learn about them. And obviously they're going to be evolving, they're going to be changing, but to parent them individually. So for me, I have one that's more timid naturally. And so I'm constantly affirming him and speaking prayers of boldness over him, things of that nature. I have one that's more high on himself, really likes him himself. And so I'm praying humility over him. I'm keeping him in check on things. And then I have one that's a wild card. And I just pray protection over him. And I ask, why did you do that? I ask leading questions to him. What was your thought process? And so that would be a huge thing for those with multiple kids, or if you have one child, is like parent that child. I mean, there's a tendency to put this blanket over, especially as you said, when we get into the thick of life, like it's easy to be on a podcast and say these things, but like in a day-to-day, one thing we do is at night we tuck our kids in every night individually, have a little prayer time, talk time, whatever. And that's just a moment that I've developed where I do that. And again, I don't bat 1,000, but hey, let me get on this specific child's level and who they are and figure out what they need to hear. So parenting each child as their own human, because they are their own self, you know? And I think I fall victim to it, of like just this blanket parenting, everybody do this, and it just, it doesn't work. And so again, that's another thing, when you do that and you see the fruit from it of like, oh wait, he didn't need to be talked to like that, but this child did. That's been a powerful thing for me, as obviously I still have young kids as well. I have tons to learn, but that's one thing I would encourage as well.
This is a continuous learning podcast. Yeah. Because we're all learning together, man.
Yes.
And yes, very true. A lot of people have heard me talk about my son and my daughter.
Yeah.
And what motivates one, I'll just use this quick story as an example, just because I know I'm with you 100%. Same with leading teams. Like, everyone's an individual, has different buttons that motivate them or demotivates them.
Yep.
But so we noticed something the other day with my daughter, and she had done something really good at school. Mm-hmm. And so with our son, you would normally, like, he likes to be praised. He's like, oh yeah, like, he loves it.
Yep.
With my daughter, we're like, you did such a great job at school. We heard about blah, blah, blah. And she almost wilted down.
Yeah.
And just, that's not the first time it's happened. So I was like, I'm going to test something out. So I went up and I just went up to her and said, hey, great job at school today. And just put my hand out, like, give me a pound. Mm-hmm. And she, like, looked at me, got a grin, did the pound, and then was full of energy. Huh. So it was, for her, too much praise is almost embarrassing, and like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And just a little acknowledgement. And I'm actually similar to that. So I got it. So that's a great, just to illustrate your point of, you know, the blanket doesn't always quite work. So
exactly, man. And I have the same situation. One of mine is more words of affirmation. The other one just wants me to wrap my arm around him, give him a little hug, move on. You know? So that's beautiful. Yeah.
Good.
And so the last thing I would share, and this is something that is very hard to do. I remember Doc Rivers, coach, obviously NBA, talked about it. As parents, we so much want to talk and analyze and give perspective, but I think, and it ties into some of the other things we've talked about, and it's really hard to practice for me because I'm a verbal analyzer. Like, I need to talk it out.
Externalizer.
Externalizer, yes. And so, but being really intentional words combined with intentional listening brings great emotional wealth. And I've just found that to be so true. And so how that practically manifests itself is asking leading questions more. You may know the answer to it, but letting them answer it. And so very practical, very simple in theory. But again, when you pick your kid up from school, you immediately want to ask, how was your day? They say good. And then you start saying all your things, right? Or the combo just stops. Mm-hmm. But, and I think, Zach, we talked about this in a specific instance at one point of like, well, why do you feel that way? You know, I think we were talking about my son and a funny story that happened with him. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, why do you feel that way? And like, we just naturally don't do that. And I think that ties into the hustle and bustle. So that would just be an encouragement for dads listening, is like, how can, and I would even jot them down. Like, I've started jotting down, and there's lots of resources out there of like, cause it's not, I mean, it's a hard skill for some of us to ask leading questions, because we're trained, and we, in America, we're trained to have the answers, right? Like, we're supposed to be the ones that are leading. But actually, I've just found that intentional words, like, we have to say intentional words, but it has to be combined with intentional listening. And for my middle, man, it has just brought so much emotional wealth and health. And so I would just encourage dads out there to begin, just jot down, like, in my notes on my phone, if one comes to mind, I just jot it down. and we'll go through them. Sometimes at the dinner table, we'll ask those leading questions and we'll go around the dinner table. And some nights it's amazing and some nights it's a crap show, you know, like it's not good. But I think that's a huge thing that I would encourage new dads or any dad, including myself, to be about.
Intentional words plus intentional listening
brings great emotional wealth and health.
That's a good one. Yeah. We'll post that one out there. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing those thoughts with us and along with your story. I'm excited to hear in that 6 to 9 month period. 6 to 9 months, right? Or is it nine?
Yeah. Okay. 6 to 9 months is, and I always add three. They told us six, but I always add 3 months when it comes to adoption stuff, especially in Haiti. And obviously Haiti, you know, I would just ask all that if you're the praying type, obviously Haiti's going through a lot right now. Yeah. Keep them just as humans in your prayers or in your thoughts, whatever that looks like for you. But yeah, I look forward to maybe coming on and talking about that journey a little more in depth, because I've learned a whole lot. And as I've said, it's kind of like parenting. It's not always pretty, but ultimately the goal is for it to be beautiful at the end. And so
I'm excited for you. So I'm going to keep up with the story. Obviously, you and I stay in touch quite a bit. I'm just thinking, if those that want to follow you and your story, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram is primarily where I am. And I have a public account, Peyton Junkin. It's at Peyton Junkin. So you can find me there. I'm on Facebook. And I really just love people. And so please feel free to reach out, connect. Critique, you know, tell me I'm stupid, whatever that looks like. I just
start the conversation is what you're saying. Start the
conversation. Any genuine relationship has tension, right? And so I just love people, love relationships. And so, yeah, you can find me primarily on Instagram at Peyton Junkin, P-A-Y-T-O-N, not like Peyton Manning. He spelled it wrong. I spelled it right. So
go Vols. That's what we'll say to that one. But.
Oh, now let's not.
We're at the end of that's the end of this one.
Yeah. And cut.
Well, hey, Peyton, I appreciate you just coming on here with me and sharing some of your story and equipping others. And yeah, I do think down the road, there's some other opportunities for us to circle back. Uh-huh. One thing about any show like this is there's probably always somebody that disagrees with something we say and others that are support it. And then the next week or 2 weeks, it might flip and they support one. Yep. If we disagree with something and are able to have the conversation, at least we're thinking enough about it. The important thing is that we can sit down together and have the conversation. And that's how we learn together. That's how we learn. So
through conversation. And Zach, I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing this podcast. I think dads are really under-resourced in this way. And so I just, final words for me is like, dads, keep doing it. Keep going after it. No, you're not going to bat 1,000, but man, if we need more fathers that are listening even to podcasts like this, like this is the time, this is the moment. And so kudos to each father out there. Keep going and please reach out. And again, even if it's in disagreement, but keep fighting, keep moving, keep going, keep loving.
That's it, man. Hey, thanks again, brother. We'll be talking soon.
Yes. Thank you, Zach.
Hey, as Peyton said, for all the dads that are out there or moms that are listening or whoever's listening, we're glad that you've stuck along through this conversation to this point. As we always hope with every story, stories are powerful. And again, I thank Peyton for sharing his, and our hope is that you can take something out of Peyton's story that you can apply to your life on your journey to becoming the skilled dad. And if any of these things brought somebody to mind, we encourage you to share it with them, equip them with Peyton's story. And if you want to learn more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com. That is a resource we're going to be continuing to bolster up Peyton actually gave me a couple ideas tonight on some things that might help equip you. And if you've got ideas, because I know you do, if you've got ideas, there's a couple of forms on there. You can also email info@skilleddad.com or go to skilleddad.com and fill out the form. But we'd love to hear your story. We'd love to hear your ideas. And what are some of the things that you'd love to be equipped with? And we're building a cool community that can help equip each other. Because as Peyton said, keep going, but you don't have to go it alone. That's what we're doing this thing for. We're just so glad that you joined us. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please subscribe, share this thing, but ultimately take away and go live it out. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.